life. The things that we ought to rejoice over, we don't rejoice over. We rejoice over money. Lord, help me today. I'm going to preach anyway. Amen. We rejoice over things. We rejoice over material. But what about the fact that I'm saved? I can rejoice just because I'm saved. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We come to church and we don't have no joy because of happenings. Come on. We got to let things happen in our life, and happenings dictate how we're going to praise God. But I'm not here because of happenings. I'm here because I got the joy of the Lord to be my strength. And I got enough strength to praise God in spite of the happenings. Even if it's not, I'm not happy about it, I can still praise God because I got joy about it. After all the things I've been through.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've.
God bless, God bless. Would you stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you this day for this wonderful opportunity to not only hear your word, but to be in fellowship with you. Lord, we pray that you would take this word and your anointing today and do in us as you desire. Open our understanding, open our spiritual ears and eyes so that we might hear and see that you're speaking to our hearts today. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. Would you take your Bibles and turn them to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts, chapter 16. It's a very familiar story, but we pray the Spirit of God will invite your attention to new understanding this morning. Acts, chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. And it reads as follows. And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about for just a little while this morning, divine breakthrough. Divine breakthrough. There are many types of breakthroughs, but none as wonderful and as complete and fulfilling as a divine breakthrough. As we walk through the text, there are some things I want to point out before I get to where I'm trying to get to this morning to help us understand this whole story a little bit better as it relates to not only Paul and Silas's plight, but many of our plights in our present day situations, and how God desires to give us a divine breakthrough. And before I go any further, just to challenge your thinking, I need you to understand that there is a grave difference between a breakthrough and a breakout. And a whole lot of us break out of our situations, but we never break through our situations. And there is a difference between being free and being loose. And so all of this is in the text. And so as we walk through it, there are some things that I pray the Holy Ghost will make plain as we walk through his word. Bible says, it came to pass as they went to prayer, a certain young lady was possessed with a spirit of divination, which meant that there were multiple spirits in her who were doing multiple tasks through her human personality and her human being, her vessel, her body. And she brought her masters great gain, much, much money, made them very profitable in terms of the craft that she operated in and out of. And the Bible says the same woman with all of those many and various spirits followed Paul and Silas. And the word says, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Verse 19 says, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now, there are a lot of things that are wrapped up in these verses we've just read, but beginning at the latter where they say these men trouble their cities, these men were not troublemakers in the true sense of troublemaking. But they were troublemakers in the sense that they had taken the comfortable and by the preaching of the gospel and the working of miracles made them uncomfortable. They were actually dealing with trouble and giving it a place of
bondage where trouble had before put people of God in bondage. They were taking trouble and bounding trouble, putting trouble in bondage. Yeah. And it's amazing, my brothers and sisters, when even what is wrong is desired, folk get mad with you if you try to help them. See, when somebody want to do wrong, they get mad when you try to tell them right. And so they said that these men were troubling their city because they were trying to get them to go the right way, know the right God, do the right thing, and because their hearts were bent on the opposite, they caused them to become known as troublemakers. Well, I've discovered even in domestic situations and even in some saints' lives, there are just some things you just can't do to help folk unless they want help. The world has discovered as well that you can't help anybody until, first of all, they acknowledge, one, they have a problem. Two, that they need and want some help for the problem. And three, they're willing to work through the situation to get rid of their problem. Because even when some folk not acknowledge their problem, and even when they desire some help for it, third problem is most times they don't want to do nothing about it to help themselves. And so the problem still yet persists. But I want to back up a little bit further because this woman filled with these various spirits in her, operating out of her, was following Paul and Silas, and she wasn't saying anything derogatory. She wasn't putting them down. She wasn't saying that they were hypocrites. She wasn't even trying to disown the fact that they were true anointed men of God. But rather, look at what the spirits did. They, in agreement, said what we're going to do is we're going to follow this man, Paul and Silas, and we're going to exalt them.
Yeah.
Listen at this now. Because notice what the text said in verse 17. It says that the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, here's the problem. After many days of this, Paul's and Silas's spirit becomes vexed. And you would almost think that they wouldn't become vexed about this. This is a good thing. Even the spirit world recognized the anointed ones who serve the Almighty and a high God. But that was a problem with that because the profession was not so much that they were men and servants of the Most High God, but that their preaching brought forth deliverance. Now, let me tell you what the spirits didn't realize they were saying, because inclusive of salvation was the very word deliverance. Deliverance from demonic powers, deliverance from everything that binds us and everything that bothers us and everything that is not like God. Because of the word salvation and all of its inclusiveness, the spirits didn't realize that they were writing their own doom. Now, here's another problem. Second thing is that if this person had been truly saved, they wouldn't have been operating in witchcraft.
Amen.
If they had truly been saved, they would not have been doing all of the things that were contrary to the word and the will and the way of God and making their masters much profit and gain through soothsaying, through card or tarot reading, and through palm reading, and through all of these other things. These were means outside of the divine will of God. These were motions of witchcraft in operation. Now notice here again, the next reason Paul wants to deal with this situation and the reason it grieves him is because it's deceptive. It's deceptive. They wanted to connect themselves by way of this woman to Paul so that the people, when they saw that the woman was going, following behind them, praising them, that was a connection that the people would perceive, so much so that she must be a part of them and connected in so much that she also operated in supernatural powers. Well, now, she did operate in the spirit world, but it was not divine supernatural power she was operating in. And yet, because many people would not be able to discern the difference between the spirit of God and the spirit of the enemy, who operated in a spirit of light, would somehow connect confused folk and caused folk to think that she was more than what she was, or she was right when she was really wrong. Now listen at this, because the Bible says, verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, not to the woman, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now the woman who had been used to speak salvation, notice verse 17 at the end says, which show unto us the way of salvation. This woman's body was used to speak this, to confess this, to profess this, to release this. And Paul, after hearing this by the divine power of God, turned around and gave her the very same thing that she confessed under the power of the Antichrist's spirit. Amen. What am I saying? God's power is so powerful, so awesome, that even when the enemy tries to deceive, God's power has the ability to overthrow, overturn, and conquer every opposer of the truth of God. Now, because deception was the primary root here, the Bible says again, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. What did they mean, the hope of their gains? Well, it meant very simply that no longer could this woman do what she used to do, since she had truly been delivered or saved. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you do what you do under the anointing of God, and when you do what you do under the power of the enemy, when God's anointing takes over, the power of the enemy is destroyed. See, that's why when the anointing of God comes upon one's life, the ability of the enemy to operate in that person is no longer his or her pleasure. It is no longer the devil's prerogative or privilege, because the Lord has the first and the last word, and all in between is a desire to be what God has called you to be. They knew this woman could no longer bring the money in doing what she had done, because she had been changed. Look at this. I want you to see something else. The Bible says, because this is where they become compelled to do them wrong, because not that the woman had really been saved. That was an issue, but it wasn't so much that as much as it caused them to lose all of the income they had. And if you want to mess with somebody who's unsaved, mess with their God, which 9 out of 10 times is money. Because they think they are made by their money. They think they are important by their money. They think that they rule by their money, and most of them do, and so their money becomes their God. Verse 20 says, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. No, don't trouble their city. It's troubling them. Not their city, but their cash. Listen to the word. It says, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now, they're trying to say that, again, this teaching and preaching of the gospel, because it goes against all of their laws concerning religion, it does not make sense, and it is not profitable for them to hear or receive these teachings. But notice what the word says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, what does all of this mean, and what is the purpose for all of this? Because when you understand that when this woman received deliverance, it brought, as a result of the preaching of the gospel and the authority of Paul under God's anointing, deliverance and salvation to this woman who had spoken as if she had it but didn't have the fruit of it, now had the fruit of it and was delivered from the ability to do what the enemy had before time used her to do. Now they got mad with the one who brought forth the deliverance through the human personality. In other words, folk can't beat God, but they can sure try their best to beat you. They can't do nothing about what God wants to do, but they try to get mad with the one that God brings or uses to do that with. So now, after they beat Paul and Silas, and after they put many stripes on them, notice what the Bible says. The jailer now is then given a charge, and he has to again do his job to the best of his ability, because under this charge, it was like a seal given, and that meant if the prisoner who was then given this double seal or charge had been released, released or had broken out of jail, then the jailer who was charged to keep him would forfeit his life in the place of the prisoner who got free. So look at what the prisoners do. They charge these men so much so that they thrust them into the inner prisons and made their feet fast in the stock. Now here they do something different, because these are not regular criminals. These are not regular thieves. These are not regular lawbreakers. These folk are considered extremely dangerous. Not because they're murdering folk, and not because they're hurting folk, but because they're helping folk. And I got news for you. To the kingdom of the enemy, when you do what God tells you to do, the kingdom of the enemy puts up a notice to all of the hellions that this man, this woman, this child of God who breaks forth into the things of God in the anointed area of however he's called them to minister, destroys the works of the enemy and by the enemy is considered dangerous. My question this morning is, does the devil think you're dangerous to his kingdom? See, if you can't tear the devil's kingdom down, you're no threat to him, no bother to him. You don't do anything that causes him to feel that there is some danger to his kingdom, unless you are able to take out of his kingdom the things God has given you the authority to do and operate in the anointing of God. Listen at this. The Bible says, verse 24 again, who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Yeah. Verse 25 says, and at midnight. Paul and Silas, who were thrust in the inner part of the jail with their feet locked in stocks and their hands cuffed, and they could not go and they could not move, they did something the Bible says. They prayed. Because I want to introduce something here, and because it's going to be helpful in you understanding how you receive divine breakthrough. First thing you've got to understand is that prayer must precede anything that you do as it relates to looking for deliverance. Prayer, that's communication with God. You have to talk to God. You've got to relate to God. You've got to confess to God. And in this communication, this way of prayer, when the connection is made, when you are praying according to the authority of God's word, when you are praying according to that God is moved by and that is his word, then God is obligated by his word to move on your behalf. But something else you need to understand, not only must prayer precede any other foundation of work that you build looking for and anticipating a divine breakthrough, but after you get through praying, you've got to enter into praise. And praise don't always mean having the outward ability to lift your hands, because they were in bounds. And praise don't always mean that you have to run around and do a dance in the natural. Praise means simply acknowledging and speaking the goodness of the Lord out of your own mouth, heart, or situation where God gets the glory. But there's a third element that you must understand if you're going to get this divine breakthrough, and it must be patience. You see, after you prayed and after you praise, then you need to just be patient, because God's going to do it in his own timing. How many of you have found yourself in one situation or another, bound by the enemy's attacks, or bound by a situation the enemy, because you've done right and because you've done good, the enemy's tried to keep you from getting what God had for you, even thrusted you into the inner prison, had you secured by men and by stocks and by locks, and yet in the midst of all of this, it did not stop your prayer, it did not stop your praise, and it did not stop you from being patient, knowing that God's got this thing fixed. You see, you cannot be patient until you know God has got this thing. One of the things that I pondered is, why did Paul and Silas wait so long to pray and praise? It was clear that they were locked up earlier. And yet, while they were locked up earlier, they didn't panic. Most of us, when something bad happens to us, man, we panic. We lose it. Listen at this. According to the text, and if we were to look at it according to our own jurisprudence and the Miranda law and all of these other things and all of the things that are given in terms of the rights of the prisoner, they had one call to make. Yeah. and they waited to midnight to make their call. I don't think the phone was busy. I just think they wanted to give everybody else a chance to go on and make their calls. But listen, when everything had quieted down, and when it literally seemed like the prison guards had full control over the situation, and when it seemed like everything was now working in the opponent's favor, Paul said to Silas, in my own sanctified imagination, you ready to make that call now? Because you do know where two or three are gathered together, whether they touch and agree on something, on anything. So the Bible says, again, look at the verse. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, because of what Paul knows from the word, and even if Silas didn't know, Paul taught him that if we're going to pray, it's going to have to be in agreement. And I got news for you. Even if you can't physically touch, if you can touch in the spirit, that's called the spirit of agreement. If you believe God is able to do what God said, do, let's touch on this thing and agree on this thing. And they prayed. Listen at what the Bible said. And conjunction, which means the same two that prayed were the same two that praised. And sang. And the same two were patient. Listen at this, because the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. But I've got to suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, it wasn't just the prisoners who heard them, but it was the Prince of Peace who heard them also. Listen at what the Bible says. The Bible says, as soon as the prayer was over and the praise was over and they were patiently waiting, it didn't take long. See, when you set your heart up on God and you've done what you can do and you can't do no more, you just say, Lord, I'll wait here till you get here. Now listen at this. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Now look at this. The prison was shaken. The doors were open and everybody's bands were loose. But something seems wrong with that. It didn't seem, according to the text, that only Paul and Silas prayed. So why, if Paul and Silas prayed, that the Lord would open up everybody's cells and loose everybody's band? But there is a little helpful holy hint that I want you to see in the text. And look at what the end of verse 25 says in the last four words. It says, the prisoners heard them. Now, let me help you understand. If you can't start a fire, then you ought to have sense enough to help the fire keep burning. They didn't know how to go to the right place, and they didn't know the right God to call until they heard somebody who waited till it was quiet enough for them to make their call. And when they made their call, the prisoners who were in there who had already made their call and didn't get no answer heard them, who knew that by listening to them pray and listening to them sing, knew somewhere down in their spirit that somebody was going to answer their call. So they say, can I also touch with you? Can I also agree with you? Can I get some of that also? Y'all not hearing me? And when they agreed, the Bible says they heard them, they say, listen, don't forget about us, add our little bit also. And so when God stepped in the situation, because he's no respecter of persons. I said he's no respecter of persons. And if you know somebody who knows how to get in touch with him and you don't have a personal connection, you ought to do like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you don't know where you're going and somebody knows where they're going, get on in behind them and... the same place now. And when they saw what was going on, they applied their faith to that prayer. And look, look, sit down. I don't want to just keep. I'm going to let you go because ain't no way I'm going to finish this at this hour. Listen. And the Bible says again, and immediately.